You don't prepare in the battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in ministry to compete, you are in ministry to work. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a gold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do ministry well.
Pray loud and cry in the Holy Ghost. Oh, we bless your holy name, Jesus. We soak this atmosphere in the blood of Jesus. Oh, Kosabara to the BT Jesus. Kosabara to the BT Baba. Kosabara to the BT Jesus. Abara, Abara, Abara. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power mighty in the blood.
One more time.
There is power mighty in the blood. In the blood. There is power mighty in the blood. In the blood. There is power mighty in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Father, we bless your holy name. Tonight we come into your presence. We receive light, illumination. We receive revelation. We know what to do through your word. Thank you. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And all the church will say, hallelujah. God bless you. You may please be seated. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. God bless your name. So on Sunday we started a series. Pastor Julius started last week Tuesday. But I had to come lay again a few more blocks, the foundation, Sunday. And the message for Sunday is available just now. So you can get it at the media stand after the service, so you can pick up from where we stopped. Is that okay? I said, is that okay? And also there is a link to which the messages can be downloaded. So I asked that it should be dropped on the page on Sunday, but I didn't see it. So I asked again tonight that we should please make it available so you can download a series of other messages, thoughts in this line and other areas. During the retreat, I taught a series, What Do You Know About War? It's very important you get the messages and then listen to them again and again. And What Do You Know About War is actually a book. It's a message converted to a book that is currently a work in progress. So anticipate it while you get blessed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. So on Sunday, I started teaching from the book of Genesis chapter number 1 from verse 1. Genesis chapter number 1 from verse 1. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Amen. If you have to search for it, then you need to be born again and be reconciled to Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Today, I'm going to be showing to you the battle cry of the devil in spiritual warfare. The principal topic we'll be checking throughout this month, spiritual warfare. And I like to say that I teach this topic every year. And there's a reason for that. I teach it year in and year out. Amen. So in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So it shows us that as children of light, would always have to deal with the force of darkness. So, if the heaven was intact and the earth was without form and void, it means that if a man is earthly, he's in trouble. And that's why the Bible says that to be carnally minded is death. Alright, so, we don't take our reference point from the head. We operate in the head. But our reference point is not off the head. Amen. And let me show you a scripture to quickly buttress on that. Turn your Bibles with me quickly. The book of John chapter number 17. John chapter number 17. Quickly. John 17. If you are there, say amen. Right. But for some of us, we're still trying to get there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now if you are there, say amen. So let me show you from verse 10. Okay, let's start the reading from verse 9 so you can understand. I pray for them. I pray for the world. I pray not for the world, but for them. The world there is the word ungodly system. That's the word ungodly system. And that's the same word. The word world there is the same word they used in Romans 12 verse 2. That do not be conformed to the world. That is system, not the cosmos. The system. Amen. So I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and all thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I have come to thee, Holy Father, keep true thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name. Those that thou givest me have I kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them my word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Alright, so you see that word world. Please keep your mobile phones on flight mode if you're in church. You see the word world used consistently. And Jesus Christ kept emphasizing on the fact that we are not of the world. We wait. Right. Amen. Lift your hand. Say, I am not of the world. Say it again loud and clear. Say it again. Now, if you want to understand the heart of Christ for the church, you know, when a man is about leaving the place, the final statement he says reveals the kind of thought that he has towards that place in his heart. John chapter number 17 reveals the last prayer of Jesus for the church. He kept emphasizing, you know, there are so many things to learn from that scripture, but he emphasized on the fact that we are not of the world. And he kept emphasizing on the unity of the church. So two things. They are not of the world. The world will keep having tribulations and troubles. Let me show you another scripture to kind of open our eyes to see to what extent we need to step aside from the world. Turn with me to the book of Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4. The devil speaking to Jesus in one of the scriptures said something very important. Hallelujah. If you're in Luke chapter number 4, say amen. Now let's start the reading from verse 5. I will have to be a bit fast. And I pleaded while I was starting this series because it's very long and deep. So you will permit me not to dwell on the surface, meaning that you will have to pay attention to every scripture given to you, every verse of the Bible given to you. You have to pay attention to them. You have to get the tape. You have to listen again and again and again and again. If you were in church on Sunday, you can't tell me that you've gotten all that I taught on Sunday. Is it possible? All right, so there is so much more for you to get. It's beyond the surface. Amen. Now, please pay attention to this. And the temptation of Jesus was not in a physical location. The temptation of Jesus was in the mind realm, because we are going there tonight. The devil never took Jesus to any high mountain physically. He took him in his mind. So, through one door that was opened, and that was the door of hunger. When he was done fasting, he was hungry. The devil came, oh, now that you are hungry, turn stones to bread. So, but we are going somewhere with that. The devil speaking in verse 5. And the devil taking him up into an high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Underline the word world there. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For it has been delivered unto me, to whomsoever I will, I give it. So, the devil giving a very major clue here, that, listen, things have been delivered to me. And what is he talking about? When Adam fell, the fall was not just transaction of apple for a glory. It was for the world itself. The world ought not to be an ungodly system. The world ought to be Eden. You see, the word ungodly system came when the trade was settled. It became ungodly when the devil was given control over it. Yet, what God told Adam was to tend the garden, multiply, replenish, fill the earth, get these things done. But when he fell, and you see, sometimes it is important we note that what the devil is presented to you to lure you away is small compared to what is taken. Alright? It's always a kind of transaction that is not wise. To transact with the devil is not a sign of smartness. He pays his workers in full, and the wages of that work is death. No one works with the devil and succeeds. I remember during one of the solemn assembly, Pastor here, the way he told us, he said, before you allow the devil to use you, remember the man he used for 40 days and left him for a small boy to cut off his head. The name of that man is Goliath. Alright? So the devil said, the kingdom of this world has been delivered to me. Alright? On the account of this scripture, not all testimonies are testimonies. It is important we understand what the source is. The fact that something changed is not a proof that God changed it. Hello, sir. Can I say it again? The fact that something turned around for somebody is not a proof that God changed it. The church of God is not designed to be excited after physical frivolities. Our main pursuit is Christ. Do you get what I'm saying? And let me say this to you. If your joy is not full until there are physical manifestations, you don't know Christ. There are many people in church who are not in touch with God.
such that we only see the physical things. The design of God for the church, what God wants to give us is not healing. What he wants to give us is not prosperity. What he wants to give us is Christ in our lives. It is Christ in us, the hope of. Say it loud and clear. Alright, so the devil said, all the kingdoms of this world I will give. Meaning that the devil can make a man prosperous. Prosperity is not a sign that God is here. Are you getting what I'm saying here? In a place that they lack God, you can still see proof. Behind every move, there's a mover. The force can either be divine or demonic. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So, the fact that things are going well, don't be a Christian that wants to use the end to justify the means. It is a lie of the devil. Both are important. We have to go according to God's equation to get the result. You see, you can play out of God and still get the result you are looking for, if result is your pursuit. There are many results to get outside God. Don't let anyone deceive you. A man who is not in Christ can be a wealthy man. There are many people today in the world who are not Christians but are doing fine. True or not true? Yes. And this is why this is not our pursuit. So the devil, and I'm not saying that you should not be prosperous as a Christian, but there is a mapped out pattern for God that God has designed to prosper his children. Is that clear? I said, is that clear? Alright, good. So, you can't help God. Don't use a means out of God to get what God should have given to you. You can't help God. So the devil speaking to Jesus said, all the kingdoms of this world will I give to you, for it has been delivered to me. The devil has a battle cry, and the battle cry is to infiltrate and interrupt everything that God started. Alright? The devil has a battle plan. We didn't see him say anything until he was introduced in Genesis chapter number 3. So turn your Bibles there. Turn your Bibles there. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis 3. If you are there, say amen. Say that amen loud and clear. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Now look at it. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Look at that word. Has God told you, woman, that you should not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the trees, of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But in Genesis chapter number 2, verse 17, this was what God really said, from verse 16 to 17. And God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So between Genesis 2 verse 16 to 17 and Genesis number 3 verse 3, someone had added something to what God said. And this is how the devil coins false religion and false doctrine. False doctrines are not always a total deviation from the truth. Sometimes some people feel very much righteous, very much stronger, and they want to help God one way or the other, and then we had our own caps. One of the areas the devil has been attacking the church is that when the devil sees that God is doing something very important, he either pumps you with more zeal without knowledge. Every move that is really criticized in the body of Christ, they are always genuine, but the devil interrupted it somewhere along the line. Right? Sometimes there was an issue of once saved, forever saved. If you study your Bible critically, you discover that a man who is in Christ is not going to be lost. But we can stretch it outside the borders of reality. And that's why you must study to show yourself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of what? Truth. You must rightly divide. Don't divide hastily. Don't rush. So, the devil came with a major intention. The intention was not stated. It was not even mentioned. When God was instructing Adam, he never mentioned the devil. There was a reason for that. I have noticed that in every assembly that the devil is the major focus, men still struggle to be free. You cannot be free from the devil by making him your center of attraction. Sometimes you are bounded because you give too much devotion to him. You make him so powerful, more than he really is. God's word is to be exalted, and you see the devil powerless. God never mentioned him. Not because God wanted to hide him from the people, because it won't matter if you will stay. He ought not to matter. He ought not to be your pursuit. He ought not to be the one you are trying to conquer. And that's why you will never conquer him. Christ had to come. It is not given to you to conquer him. You are to walk in that victory. So I go to places and I see people. Alright, today we cast out devils. Tomorrow we cast out devils. No one who is taught the truth can be demon possessed. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The church of Christ is not a church where we have more demons than people. Whenever that is happening, it shows that we lack something. There is something we are not getting right. If you have to come to church every time and you have to always lay hands on workers, and then somebody is rolling on the floor like a snake, and they say, watch, one spirit is foaming out, then there is something they do not know. Let me say this to you. You can cast out the devil and they'll be back that same day. You can. I mean, Christ told us demons can leave and come. You see, the issue is this, particularly to people who perceive the call of God upon their lives. If your esteem is not intact, you will use God's sheep as an experiment. I understand that sometimes it catches your fancy to see people falling on the floor and rolling. You know, I was praying last year, around December, just crying to God. And I woke up one night around 2 a.m. and the Lord allowed a picture of all the works we've been doing in ministry just to flash across my face. Now, you know, last year I was more all over the place, traveling everywhere, and then preaching. When I saw the flash, I knew in my spirit we were joking. What? You go to 5 different universities in a week, and they say, take it! Hey, people fall down, scatter the chairs. Excuse me! We cannot build legacy that way. We will do it for the next 30 years, and when your time is over, they change you. We think we are working, but there is a better way. Can we go stay with God and the word and make a dimension available? It is only the word of God that stands the test of time in ministry, not falling under anointing. You may keep doing these things and go everywhere. See, you are doing something good. You are sincere, but you are still wrong. And sometimes, you see, I just decided and I say, you know what? I'm going to step aside. Let's stay with the word and get people thought. There are things I won't want to say because there might be bitter pills for you to swallow. But the intention of God for the church is not for the church to be a rising and falling church, but we stand firm unto him that is able to keep us from falling and present us spotless before the Father. So sometimes we keep trying to use our own human means and methods to preempt the devil. You will do much more if you will stay with the word. So, while we were in school, we've seen all those things. In fact, it got so bad, I saw some people casting out devils with broom. And then they come around the people of God and flog them and tell the spirit they are flogging them seriously. You get what I'm saying? I mean, there might be one or two of you here who have been flogged before. A pastor just comes to your family house and look at you and tell your parents you are a wizard or you are a witch. And you are wondering in your heart. You don't even know what he's talking about. Because something tells people that once they call you a prophet, you must prophesy all the time. And they have, you know, many people's lives and destinies have been scattered through this false prophet. A false prophet is not necessarily the one who is speaking lies, but the one who is trying to use the gift of prophecy when it is not at work. The gift of the Spirit functions as the Spirit will it, not when you want it. So people bring you for a meeting and say, "Pastor, we are bringing for this meeting to prophesy." You can't tell me when to prophesy. The Holy Ghost does. Amen. And if someone comes to tell you, sometimes you bring danger upon your life because you won't grow. You won't grow. You see, it doesn't cost much to grow. The one that is costly is that today you just want to wake up and do 17 hours of tongues. Keep quiet. You are not breaking anybody's record in this kingdom. Alright? Be consistent with that daily staying. If it is 1 hour of prayer in tongues, do it consistently for a year. Check what happens to you. But we want to say, you know what? Are you talking about praying for 72 hours? we play with it. Oh, yeah, yeah. And when he's saying all those, sorry. Please pay attention. When he's saying all those stuff, you can tell he's still a child. You see, you can pray because of self-discipline and not pray because you know God. True. You can. I do plenty of sports, so I know what endurance is. Yeah, I know what it is. Alright, so come out. Bring people, and guess what? Anywhere that is being done, something happens to the esteem of the people. They come around and they feel below the grade of men that have been saved with grace. Many hate church because of what church has done to them. If you refuse to be cooked well, you will come into ministry, but you'll be an enemy of Christ because you'll be desecrating the kingdom more than you are building it. And that's why I say it again and again. Hey, your esteem must be intact. Even though you can't do true ministry. Because when you go to a place and everywhere has been scattered, something tells you you must scatter the ground too. But can you arrange it with God's word? Let men come confused, dejected. And then they come here, God's word, and they know. You know, someone can be battling with sexual intercourse in the dream, you know, and then happening over and over again. And then I come and I say, I command that spirit to go. It will still come back next week. But you can teach that fellow something that when you see that, refuse condemnation in your heart. The devil is trying to mock you. So one of my friends slept and then he had pounded yam in the dream. He woke up and he said, "Devil, you are very stupid. How dare you serve me pounded yam without putting water?" From that day onward, he never saw it again. You get what I'm saying? Why? He knows something. It is the truth you know that makes you free. The truth you know. So, Pastor, I've been eating in my dream. I've been eating. You are running from an already defeated enemy. No, you are trying to establish your own victory afresh. But the victory is won. Lift your hands and say, "The victory is won." Hey. So we lay hands on people and keep telling demons to go. When will the demons never come back? Should we never sit down and remember that there's something we are not doing well? You know, it breaks my heart. When I enter assemblies where God's people are objectified, and sometimes I'm sorry to say this, that really when people are castigating the church and they are saying some pastors are fraud, sometimes the best way for people to put you under is to manipulate you. When you fall under anointing and they tell you, "You know what, there is one pregnant woman that's been living inside of you for 27 years, you have one spiritual husband." Now, what? Hey! Someone tells you you have spiritual husband, tell him it is true. Christ is the husband of the church. You cannot be married to Christ and then marry somebody else at the same time in the spirit realm. How can Christ be sharing you with a demon? Hey, I am married to Christ. Hey, you have spiritual husband. Say, "Pastor, you have seen well. You've seen well. But you don't know who that husband is. Let me reintroduce him to you. His name is Christ." So God never bothered to tell Adam
about the devil, because all that will ever matter is that you stay with the word, and that's all. But the devil came in Genesis 3 with an intention. And what was the intention? To obstruct the process of what God was doing. We only heard that the serpent was more subtle, but he was after something. He was after something. The devil is always after something. Don't underrate it. He's after something. Always after something. And this is why you must know how much you are loved by God. Lift your right hand and say, I'm loved. Say it again. Say it again. Now look up. Sometimes we have presented it as though if you are a pastor, you are more loved. No believer is more loved than the other. As a matter of Christ, God doesn't love Christ more than he loves you. That's how deep the love is. Because the devil played on that in this book of Genesis number 3. Please follow me quickly. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. If you are there, say amen. Okay, let's start from verse 4 for clarity. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know. Can I have volume on this microphone, please? Hello, Bishop, can I have volume? Thank you. Ye shall not surely die. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the devil played on God's integrity in our presence. Number one, he called God a liar. Now you see, really, if you eat this thing, you will not surely die. You will not surely die. You will not surely die is not the same thing as you will not die. You will not surely die, you will die a kind of death, but not completely. See, for in the God knows, look at this. God doth know that in the day that you eat this, what will happen? You will be as gods, knowing what? Good and evil. But that is not consistent with the scripture. Because you need to be afraid of somebody who stands before you and is talking fast. They might be hiding something in the conversation. You were not designed to know evil. You are designed to know only good. Because in Genesis chapter number 1 from verse 27, this was what God said, verse 6, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the heads, and over every creeping thing that keepeth upon the head. The intention was what? Let us make man in our own what? Image. So when the devil says that you shall be as God, small letter G-O-D, he was making it very clear that, listen, I want to reduce your level. But a man who doesn't even know the original will not know when the fake is entering. And this is why you must know God's word for yourself. The primary way for you to be robbed is to be robbed of God's word. If you don't know what God's word says, you will not know when any other thing is stolen from you. You know the word. Have you noticed that there is so much contention around your study life? Huh? Everything is planned. So much contention. The enemy doesn't want you to know the truth. Something happened after the Second World War. The world had to come together to agree on certain policies that will help us all not to have another world war. And one of the statements in that policy was that no country will come take over another nation's sovereign power. I'm just summarizing. I think it's called the Atlantic Charter or something.
That is, you from Great Britain cannot go to Nigeria. And then you usurp authority over them because they are a sovereign nation on their own. Because during the World War, other countries were busy colonizing other countries, taking their power from them. But even after that document has been made, Nigeria was still a colony of Great Britain. Alright, countries like Benin Republic were still a colony of France, and different countries in Africa were still colonized. Until a man in India called Mahatma Gandhi read that same document, and with that same document they wrote, was able to fight for their liberty. Meaning that there was something in that document that contained their freedom, but the rest were reading, but they did not understand. And as long as you do not understand, you are still in bondage. There is something in God's word that the devil doesn't want you to see. Because he knows that as long as you don't know it, you are still in bondage. It is a major war for you not to know God's word. It is a very serious war. As a matter of fact, you can teach the word because you heard it, but still you don't know it. If you hear it, it will stay on your head. If you teach it like that, it cannot pass beyond the head of the people. But when you digest it, it becomes a life. That is when the word can become a life in those who hear you. And that is one of the things happening. You notice that there's no much contention about listening to tapes, but there is much about studying for yourself. By so doing, you will not recognize error. Many Christians are fine now, but they are still predisposed to danger. They have no defense. Hallelujah! The devil doesn't want you to know that you are loved by God. Or sometimes let them know, but let them not know the extent of the love. Look at the story of that prodigal son. Alright, he went to squander his father's resources. He collected his own part of the birthright, squandered everything. God spent his money with harlots, and then got to a point was feeding with pigs. And when he did that, when he got to that point, he remembered, none of my father's slaves even eat like this. Let me rise and go to my father's house. At least I will become like one of the slaves. He knew something, but not the totality of what he should know. Because many Christians want to come back to God, but they want to come back as slaves. Let me explain. That is, I have done something so bad. Let me just go back. I know I cannot fulfill the original plan anymore. That's the slavery. You know, I have wasted my time. I've wasted my life. I've made mistakes. I'm not as pure as that pastor. As that pastor misses. Or not to you that pastor too is lying. Or he's not saying the whole truth. Huh? I say, let me go back to God. And, you know, just anything. Any plan I can fulfill in God. But that's not the intention. Anytime you come back, you are still a son. You need to know this. That is when you can teach it to others. The reason why you are hard and judgmental on people is because you yourself, you have not understood the mercy of God. Amen. I said amen. You see, you cannot survive this battle if you don't know how much you are loved. The most potent weapon of our warfare is the love of God. You have to say it again and again. My past notwithstanding, I am loved. Lift your right hand and say it. My past notwithstanding, I am loved by God. I am a child of God. God loves me. He loves me. I am important in His plan. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. Say it again. Now, I've heard people say that when you tell people that even when they make mistakes, God still loves them, you are giving them license to sin. Nobody needs any license to sin. The sin you committed yesterday, who gave you license to sin? Nobody gives you license to sin. But you see, sin is not the major battle cry. The battle cry is what the devil brings through sin. And that's where we are going. So, we saw in Genesis chapter number 3 that the devil loves interrupting God's plan. Anything God has started, he wants to fight it. Anything. You might be here, you've wondered, why should my life be this serious? Why should I be the one that I've gone through this and that? Why amongst my father's children, why am I the only one facing this and facing that? The devil doesn't attack anywhere there's nothing. There has to be something there for him. Hallelujah. Probably the reason why you are confused because you don't know the extent of your importance. You don't know. As a matter of fact, one strange thing in this kingdom is that all things work together for good to them that love God, including the bad things. Deny a Christian access to growth. Fight him with everything you can. Get him into drugs. Get him into armed robbery. Get him into all those things. He's coming back. And when he comes back, he becomes the captain of those who are still there. He carries the power to set them free. And that's why I taught you, when you are made free from your past, don't hide your scar. That's the anointing to redeem others. Don't hide it. So there is nothing. Lift your hand and say, there is nothing. Say it again. There is nothing the devil can do against us but for us. Hallelujah. So the Bible said, if the prince of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The worst mistake the devil made was that he allowed them a rebuke. From that point, you come back, you return with the power of compassion to rescue those who are going through. The devil likes hijacking God's plan. Anything God wants to do, he likes to go there and then destroy. But the question here is, can the devil be stopped? Yes. According to scripture, it can't be. At least we saw a scripture where somebody stopped him completely. And not just once, in his entire life, he stopped him. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Luke chapter number 4 one more time. Luke chapter number 4. If you are there, say amen. Say it loud and clear. Now look at it. From verse 1. Can we all read verse 1 to 3 together? I want to show you something there. After the count of 3, 1, 2, 3, go. Amen. But did you notice something in verse 2? Okay, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Meaning that wilderness experience is not necessarily a proof that you are doing something wrong. Huh? Pay attention. That something suddenly turned bad doesn't mean it's your fault. Sometimes you need to understand that between your previous level and the next level, there's going to be a brief wilderness experience. The Holy Ghost leads sons to the wilderness to be tempted. Now, turn your Bibles. Let me show you something quickly. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8.
Father, Almighty Father,
is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have a Father. Hallelujah. A Father. Almighty Father. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have a Father. Hallelujah. Almighty Father, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have a Father, hallelujah. Father, Almighty Father, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have a hallelujah. Almighty, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have a Father.
Look at something. The reason why I want to show you this scripture is so you can understand that it is possible for you to be perfectly in tune with God and yet still experience wilderness experience. It is possible. It is not every time that something goes bad that the devil is responsible for it. Please pay attention. Okay? Have you learned that? Now, Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. The intention was for them to go to the wilderness for 40 days. And that's why Jesus never passed his own 40 days. The idea was this. Pay attention. As at the time Jesus was entering the wilderness, he was age 30. If the devil had made it 40 years, it means that the ministry would have almost started at age what? 70. He will do any other thing but not ministry. Now, while wilderness may not be a proof that you have done something bad, the devil can still elongate it for you. As a matter of fact, nothing shows what you are made up of like the wilderness experience. It shows what you are after, whether God or His hands. Anything you ate is what will be used to train you in the kingdom. Some people don't like God. They only ate poverty. The instruction that will build those kind is that they will be told to give such that they will look poor till they ate red. Because sometimes it's not just hatred for poverty, it is fear of being poor till that fear dies. Except the grain of wheat first falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. Your fear is not going to bring edification to the kingdom. Okay, I don't want to talk this one, don't worry. Deuteronomy 8 verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what is in your heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandment or no. Meaning that this is the only exam you've come to write in the wilderness experience. Course number one. Wilderness 101. You are passed through that experience to learn humility. Course title, humility. You must pass it. How do you pass that course? When you are no longer happy, when those who don't like you are failing, you know you are getting better.
Because sometimes you think the proof that you are right is that somebody you've been correcting now fails. You have not learned humility. I know it will take a while for it to sink. Number two, second course in the wilderness. You will show yourself as a son. He will prove you. God proves men before he approves of them. Huh? He brought you into the kingdom the way you are, but he cannot manifest you the way you are. You need to be passed through fire. Except a metal called gold. It exists as a stone. Except it passed through fire, it cannot become an article that people use. True or not true? Yes. Don't be a fair weather Christian. Let me talk to you at this point. Things will not always be sweet. Things will not always be perfect. As a matter of fact, you can watch unbelievers celebrate what you as a Christian don't have. And that doesn't mean you've done something wrong. You will have to be proven. Your heart will be tested. God will have to check. Do you want him or you want what is in his hands? In the wilderness, you'll be proven. Then in the process, you will know what is in your heart. I think I was sharing with those who were praying with me yesterday night. Those who pray every night on Telegram and do. That when a man says he loves God and he wants God, God will give you other things first. If you seek first the kingdom of God, all other things will be added. But if you seek God, other things will be given first. So God can know what you really want. Oh God. There are many who started in pursuit of God, but they stopped the day God gave them a wife. Or the day God gave them a husband. Or the day God gave them a job. Because the reason why they were coming to church always before was because there was no job. So God will give you that job because he knows you are designed to tabernacle when you get your greatest desire. You stay there. And that's why you always need to cross-check. What do I want? God or what he has to offer? It is not a crime to want what he has to offer. But if that's what you want alone, you are in trouble. Because you'll never find God. Never. So he will know what is in your heart. He will know whether you will keep his commandment or not. Meaning that you are broke, not because you have done something wrong, but a way opened for you to make money illegally. Will you? I was preaching 2011. A young boy came, said to me, "Pastor, I was blessed by that message. I've never heard someone teach us like this. Thank you, Pastor." And you know, I came out for altar call. I gave my life to Christ. You know, and Pastor, I have a confession. I've not been living a good life. I've been making money illegally. I've been defrauding people. And while you were preaching, I sensed God was telling me that all that money I have in my account, I should come and sow it to you. Hey, call it the blessing of God. You spend it in the prison. All blessings are not from God. And that's why you must just not be after material things. Don't be in a hurry to prove to your generation that you are doing fine. Don't be in a hurry. Hey, I told him there's an orphanage home downstairs. If truly God has led you, give it to them. They can't come and arrest orphans. And listen, Joseph told Potiphar's wife, "How shall I do such a thing and sin against God?" If the reason why you are not doing something first is because of police station, you are still in trouble. Because the devil will bring orders that police will never find out. If the reason why you will not do something is because my pastor or my daddy, my daddy. See, boy, you can't touch me. You can't touch me. What if I get pregnant? So the reason why they can't touch you is called pregnancy.
you are in trouble. They will touch you in a way you won't be pregnant. Oh. No, I like talking to Christians because everybody just give me that Holy Ghost look. Like, Pastor, we don't understand what you're talking about. But between us, you know, I know you understand what I'm saying. And you have to learn it. Your thoughts, your conclusions matters. Your motives, the reason why you won't do what you won't do matters. Because you might not be doing something bad, but the reason why you're not doing it is still shallow. Are you getting what I'm saying here? A Christian might be avoiding and abstaining from many things, but the reason why they won't do it is still shallow. The reason is not primarily God. You are in trouble until the reason is God. Joseph never told Potiphar's wife, how shall I do such a thing? What if my master catch me? She will tell you, let's go to where your master won't catch you. Have you seen that book of Proverbs chapter number 7? When this woman's husband went, the Bible says, from a window she beheld of one of the young men, the one that is of simple heart. When the Bible calls someone simple in the book of Proverbs, it's not that he's simple, it's that he's foolish. That's the word simple. One who is of a very foolish heart. And a woman beheld him from a window and said, come, let us make love and have a day filled with love. For the good man is gone out and they will not return back until days to come. And the Bible says he went straightway after her like an ox go to the slaughter, like a fool to correction of what? Stocks. The man won't catch them, but it will still cost him his life. Because sometimes we have raised a generation of men who will avoid certain things, but the primary foundation is still wrong. The fact that they are not doing something bad is not the proof that they are strong. Hey, what I'm saying is this sinking. Do you understand what I'm saying here? There might be somebody standing here who has not gone into sexual immorality, and the reason is not because of God. Even that same God, you are not still deep in him. Or you have not just gone because you want to present your body. You don't like, no, wahala. If the reason is not God, you are still in trouble. Just a matter of time. Now, I'm still going back to that book of Luke chapter number 4. But look at verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know. That he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God does man live. That's the sum total of their 40 years experience. Meaning that your wilderness will end the day you discover that man lives by God's word. In this journey, you will see Christians who don't know God share testimonies, while you that know God deeper don't have any to share. Are you getting what I'm saying? In this kingdom, you see somebody who has had 8 abortions give birth to a triplet, while you have stayed chaste. You are trusting God for one, until you learn to know that man does not live by bread alone. Testimonies are not a proof that we have been tested. I'm not against testimonies. I pray for people. As I'm talking to you, I've gotten a testimony. God. All right? But they are not a proof that you are being fine. You will have testimonies in Jesus' name. But may you stand in the days that you are waiting for them to come. There are seasons in your life that it will look as though you are not born again. It will look as though God is for everyone else except you. There are faces like that in your life. And if you are not prepared for that face, when you get there, you might crumble. We thought the wife of Job was doing fine until Job faced tribulation. And she said, curse God and die. If you are not going through adversity, it will look as though you are doing fine. But sometimes wilderness shows us your true state. It shakes you and we see what really is inside of you. Let me show you a scripture. James chapter number 1. James 1. Please turn your Bibles there.
James 1. If you're there, say amen. Alright, we'll wait for those who are not there. James is after Hebrews. It's after Hebrews. Are you there now? Are you there? Amen. Alright. Now let's start the reading from verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Hey. Meaning that the process of delay builds you. I don't think much of Christians that cry in the days of delay. But I'm a pastor, I have to encourage them. Hey, if you are happier in the days that things are fine compared to the days that things are not fine, something is still wrong with your foundation. I have been preaching like this, even at the time I have to be the only one old tambourine in church, shaking tambourine, and I will still stand and preach to the wind. Or in those days in Moro, there are goats that used to enter the church. Meh. I look at the goats and preach the gospel to the goat. Be looking at me and they're meh. I preach the goat. If you look at me, I'll still preach to the goat. When I read from Steve Harkovey that people who are strong in what they are doing are those who have done it for at least 10,000 hours. So I started preaching to the wall. The wall of my house have experienced preaching. I will stand. That's why I used to lock my door. Because if you enter, you will take me to psychiatric hospital. You know, I sat down yesterday afternoon and I was saying to God, I embrace pain. The pain of the process. I embrace it. And yeah, I was saying it for over an hour. Just a statement. I embrace it. I will. Because sometimes when you go through tribulation, you build a wall for you not to go through it again. You are not healed. That's why. You don't understand what I'm saying. If you are truly healed, you will still be vulnerable one more time. Not foolish one more time. Motivational speakers will tell you that if your brother offend you, if somebody slap you on your right cheek, don't turn the other one and don't let him do it again. But Christ said you must turn the other one. Meaning that if your brother offend you once, forgive him, but still bring him close in a way that he can still do it again. That gospel is difficult. Sorry. Because you may keep building walls throughout your life, and those walls are a sign that you've not been healed from the first one. But somebody is going to scale those walls and launch your heart again. Many of the walls you are building are not godly. They are just there to protect the child in you, not to be offended. You need to grow.
Let patience have a perfect work. Hey, mean that patience work on people. It works. Challenges can purify you. Anybody that stands in your life that makes you not to look up to God, they become your Isaac. For you to move forward, they have to die. I'm not saying physical death. I'm saying God will take them from you, even if it's a relationship. Hey, they will go. You lack personal definition apart from the fellow God has brought to your life. That fellow has to die. So you can define yourself in God. Because two will become one. But with that mindset, you are still half. You are not one. And that's why I hear Christians say, this is my better half. Yeah. Better half call. Orange name. Sorry. Please don't sorry. Patience works. It works in us. Works on us.
You want something, but you have to wait. Wait. Tell your neighbor you can wait. Say it one more time, you can wait. Now, I was teaching those who were with me on Saturday morning a principle. Please look up. Let me teach you something very important. I'll just paraphrase it. Somebody wants something. Alright? But you have to go through the process to get it work. But this other fellow has somebody that will give him everything he wants. He doesn't have to bother about any process. Whenever he snaps his finger, what he wants gets to his table. Both of them will eventually have it. But one will be stronger than the other. One will know the God that brings it. This one will know the man that brings it. It is they that do know their God. I shall be strong. I shall do exploit. This is the reason why you can have a very big ministry, but you are still weak. Huh? You don't take loan to do God's work. Don't take loan to do ministry. Don't take loan. I don't know who is watching online that I'm saying this for. You take loan to do ministry. You are Uzzah. You are trying to help God. Anything you buy with that money will not last. There is a process you have to go. The natural nature of every man hates process. But the Bible says, if patience have a perfect work in you, you will be what? All and entire. You want nothing. Let me say this to you. There is nothing the devil can use to humiliate me. Because I know the nickname of hunger. Hey! I pass through! I know what hunger is. Devil, what do you want to use to afflict me? It's nothing. Say, God will tell me, there's nowhere God wants to tell me to go that I cannot go. Because I can be in a city as though I'm not even in the city. You know, if God says, go to Abanikonda village, you get what I'm saying? Tonight will be my last message. And I have very strong men that will do better than this. And I've gone to Abanikonda. It will shock you that when you get there, the same effect you are seeing there, you see there. The blessing is not location. The blessing is who we carry to those locations. So you run from Nigeria to do ministry in America. If you don't carry God there, you still be in the wilderness. Don't hate process. This version of you cannot achieve what God wants you to achieve. You'll have to be refined. A clay cannot dictate to the potter what it should be made into. You need to be purged, purified. God has to sit on you. Let me show you another scripture. Malachi chapter number 2. I don't know why the Holy Spirit is leading me to, because we teach by the Spirit. But for somebody, and then the, since the Lord is nudging me to the banner could have this. And I don't know who it is for them. Thank you, Lord. Shahala Makandero Shakala Matias. Ziena Mekombro Fees, the Fairhead the Artist. Jesus. Shahala Makros. I want to show you a scripture here. Just give me a minute. Shaham de Rose, the Kahan of my God. Jesus. Malachi 2, coming. Okay. Just a minute.
I want to show you where he talked about purifying the sons of Levi. Huh? Chapter 3, verse 2. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Malachi 3, verse 3. Malachi 3, verse 3. Malachi 3, 3. But say amen. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. And he shall purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto God an offering in righteousness. Please look up. Meaning that the offering of a man who has been through fire is valuable in the sight of God. I'm telling you, the error of this generation is that we have taught men that the proof that you are fine is that everything is fine. God will purge you. It is not every instruction that will take you into glory immediately. There are instructions God will give you that will first bring you down before he takes you up. Before Christ ascended far above the heavens, he first descended into the bottom of the earth. And you must love the boat. You must love the boat. You will allow God to purge you. You see, if these works are done in you, you will be able to stand in the days of adversity. The Bible said you faint in the days of adversity because your strength is little. Not all Christians. You see, we can bring people into Christ. They rejoice. We teach them. They celebrate and all those things. But in the face of one tribulation, they are gone. Gone. Just one thing they cannot withstand. No strength is built in them. No energy. No power. I see Christians behave and I ask, how did you get to this point? Because the process ought to have killed what I just saw in your life. You see, you may jump the process and get to the end, but there is something about the end that will require from you what you should get during the process. We're serving many girls in the family house. Well, she come to the house and sing. Sing the house. You know what I'm saying? Somebody can be singing beautifully well and I'm hearing nonsense. What's nonsense? It's not obedient. It doesn't hear a word. Won't study the Bible. Doesn't honor anybody. Doesn't respect anyone. You come to the church. You're a sounding cymbal. Even angels are not dancing to your song. They know you as a good singer, but God doesn't know you. I'm not talking about this choir. And if you feel I'm talking about you, so be it. Sorry. I'm not sorry. One is as a pastor, the other one is as a teacher. And this is why ministries fall apart. We put men into position because they are anointed, but they fail because they are not trained. Anybody who can't wash toilet can't be a good pastor. They may come anointed, let them do the base things. Stay there. You know what I'm saying? Stay there. I told one of my pastors, I said, when you preach now, the Holy Ghost doesn't move. See, yeah. See, in those days that you were small, when you come to my house, you used to wash plates. But now you've seen it all. Don't value anybody who has not been passed through fire around your life. If they can't relate with your present, they can't do your future. And they are the same thing with God.
may dance around the things of God, but still don't know God. And that's why when a man is a man of Moses, the secret of his ministry is not noise. There is a witness that God is speaking. That anything he's saying, God is saying, I'm a witness. He has been through. It's called power. Bow your head. Say, Father, pass me through. Say it. Pass me through. Pass me through. Amen. Look up. Yesterday. Hold on. Something happened. The Emir of Kano was dethroned, sent into exile. Alright. And then the first accusation was for insubordination. And then I watched the videos of the things he was talking about. It is better to be dethroned with legacy than to be enthroned as a slave. They dethrone somebody for speaking the truth and they put you there, you are laughing. It means they see you as a goat. They can control you anywhere. You are just a puppet. It is better to be the only one speaking the truth than to have millions of people when you are lying. And that's the way our world works. You hear what I'm saying? Must embrace the wilderness experience that comes. You are not a proof that you have failed. It is possible to be a child of God and yet you have a carryover. Don't call it enemy of your father's house yet. Ask, in what area have I made a mistake? What should I learn from this? If you are quick to accredit all your troubles to the devil, you will never grow. Because you will not take responsibility. The devil is not in charge of all your troubles. That's the summary of what I'm telling you. The Israelites didn't pass through wilderness because the devil led them there. But they stayed longer because they didn't have victory over the devil. God loves us all. But our weight is not the same. Because some stayed in the days of tribulation, while others went to pass the shortcut. Kenneth E. Hagin said, if the devil is taking you to a shortcut, ask him, what is he cutting short? And if God must raise a church that will be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, then we have to be strong people. You have to sit down and say, I embrace the pain of the process. The end result is sweet, but there is a process that is bitter. I embrace it. Can I lead into that prayer? Yes. Can you pray it quickly? I embrace it. I embrace it. I embrace it. I am not a fair weather Christian. I embrace the making process.
Of the glory of the Lord takes over the air as the waters takes over the sea, until the knowledge of the glory of the Lord takes over the air. As the water takes over the sea. Shahalakante rakyante roshente bakana matishta. Sihena maikumbrohu veni shahakati shahala. Mahande krehiyana matishta. Your spirit is moving all over the world, as the prophet said it should be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When you don't know the ways of the wind, how can you fly? When you don't know the ways of the spirit, how can you walk? When you don't know the ways of the spirit, His power at work in you is bringing everything in obedience to Christ. It's changing everything in obedience to Christ. Swallow your pride tonight. Come to the school of the Spirit. Don't you know in His hands is the key to eternal life? A little here and a little there until His will is done. It's bringing everything in obedience to Christ. No matter the tribulation, no matter the troubles, I stand. I stand as one that knows the God that he believes. Nina Yesu ne bezenkuma. Bezen kuma baya ba, Nina Yesu ne. Bezen kuma baya ba, Nasahanu na akanke kanuma. Bezen kuma baya ba, Nasahanu na akanke kanuma. Bazan kuma baya ba. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His coming. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, that whether we are going to the valley or to the mountain, God is still good. This is the proof that we are mature. Have you seen people teach men about faith? So much about faith. And have their own wife wait for the fruit of the womb. Yes. Have you seen people who teach people about faithfulness and how to trust God for years for a life partner? Yes. Meaning that in this kingdom, that you get it easily is not a proof that you know the way yet. There is a way in God. And when things don't seem to fit in, it's still good. The revelation of God as good should be a constant, regardless of the situation. It's good. Amen. I'd like you to rise on your feet. Alright. Reaffirm your victory. Listen. This is the way the devil operates. If there is a glass explosion in Borno tonight, Boko Haram, in an attempt for them to stand powerful, they will claim responsibility for the explosion. Why? So that people can know they are still active. There are things that God is doing in your life that the devil wants to claim responsibility for. He wants to tell you that the reason why this aspect is not settled is because of something you have done wrong. And really, it is because you have to wait in that process. And that's why when you wake up and find tears amongst the wheat, don't just shout that an enemy has done this. Ask who has done this. There are a kind of tribulation that has to come so you can rise. Amen.
If you accredit them to the devil, they will attack your revelation of God's love. Do you get what I'm saying here? Are you getting what I'm saying here? You might have to listen to this again and again. And then you hold on to the truth. Lift your hands and reaffirm your victory in Christ. Say it loud and clear. Let the world know how much you are loved. Let it work. Say it again and again and again. For there is now therefore no more condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Reaffirm your revelation of God's love. Father, I know you love me regardless. Your love for me is deep. Your love is deep. Your love is kind. Your love is higher than the mountains. Your love is deep. Your love is kind. Your love is higher than the mountains. It's higher than the mountains. It's deeper than the ocean. Your love for me is more than words can say. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. In Jesus' powerful name, we are prayed. Father, we want to thank you. First and foremost, thank you for loving us. Thank you. Words cannot describe the depth of your love towards us. We are still coming into the knowledge of the length, the width, and the depth of your love. Father, to everyone under the sound of my voice going through a process that is necessary for their emergence, I ask for strength. I ask for staying grace and power. I ask, Lord, that you will empower them to trust you through the process. And we will not see the devil as responsible for everything. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' powerful name, we are praying. Hallelujah. Now, if you have been blessed tonight, put those hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.